Hey Cloakers, it is Will. I've got some pretty exciting news for you today, which is about our Kickstarter campaign, which you might have seen if you've been on social media recently, but launching today is The Blood Plague, which is a D&D 5e adventure set in Penumbra, the world of Turncloaks, and featuring some of the characters from the Turncloak storyline itself. So you'll see wonderful artwork up there of course, our four main characters, and of course, the world of Penumbra as well. We've put so much time, so much effort, so much love and hard work, not only into Turncloaks, but into this project as well. You guys will be able to play in the time of the Blood Plague, combating the mysterious creatures of Sinuan Strife, and of course getting involved in some of the bits that the party are up to as well, including Arkenbury and the murder of crows. So if you guys enjoy Turncloaks, you're going to be sure to love the Blood Plague. So check it out. If you play D&D, you can pick it up now on Kickstarter and help support our project together as a team and a crew. And we've got some pretty exciting news coming down the line as well for Penumbra and the world of Turncloaks. Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Turncloaks, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D sex icon. It's episode 13, which can only mean good things for our party as we journey once again into the world of Penumbra. Let's go around the cast and crew, figure out who we are and who we're playing. Let's start with Tool Squall. How you doing, Tool Squall?
Hey, how you doing? I am happy to be here. Glad we survived. Interested to see what the next piece of this story is, because, yeah, it's getting a little hairy out here. And I am playing Alistair Crow, who is also known as the White Crow, who in this sort of low magic world, dark fantasy era, he is a plague doctor, which is how we express clerics in this world. So it's been definitely interesting, and I'm looking forward to see what's next.
Awesome. We have Joseph back tonight. How you doing, Joseph?
Just wonderful. Ready to get into more feelings and whatever finds its way into my heart and soul in this episode. I'm playing Tamarin, who's the human ranger of the group, and he's ready to feel things too.
Excellent. We have, speaking of feeling things, Josh back tonight. Hey there, Josh. Yeah.
Whatever
things like arthritis for you.
So it's, whatever finds it into my heart and soul this week. It's probably like plague infested, like rabid worms or something, because it's Penumbra. You guys get ready for more feels and more death and more misery as we try and figure out what our next move is. We had a big sort of epic battle last week, and it was awesome, and someone died, and we are all still excited about that death. Best kill ever. But I'm playing Luna, who is didn't really do much because I'm not a soldier, I am an old man, I do have arthritis, don't judge me.
Alright, and last but not least, Sydney.
Hey, I'm really excited. I'm hoping this episode we can kind of answer some questions from a couple episodes back where we were all split up. I'm kind of really itching to know what is going on still. But I'm playing Ari. She is a half-elf rogue.
Great stuff. Well, here to scratch our itch from last week's episode is the back scratcher extraordinaire himself, Joseph.
Did you call him the butt scratcher extraordinaire?
Dark fantasy back scratcher.
Okay.
Good.
Sure. Joseph, what happened last time?
Last week, we were in an epic battle, as Josh said. We didn't think we were going to make it for a little bit there, so Renfred got seriously injured by what seemed to be his arch nemesis, Sir Raiden, who had a god-awful voice. He was eventually killed, his head was chopped off, and then he was picked off by the crows, just as Sir Richard's reinforcements and Landgrave Martell's reinforcements arrived to help us out and picked off the rest of Sir Raiden's forces.
Pretty accurate summary right there. We thought that Zeldan was dead. Turns out he's not. Ha! Got you all. Don't worry, I'll kill him next episode.
Good.
Stop! That's not funny.
It's episode 13. It'll be great. But yeah, that's where we're going to pick up today's episode of Turncloaks with our cast and crew after the siege of Arkenbury in the aftermath of that. After the wounded are being tended to, the dead have been moved out from the cathedral itself, where people are mopping up the innards and the bloody entrails from within. It's being cleansed. The four crows are seeing to the wounded, as well as the white crow, Alistair, as well, and our team of individuals. But that goes on throughout the rest of the night until morning comes. You guys finally get a chance to rest. Take a long rest and essentially all wake up in the afternoon, evening, the day after that. After finally your kind of exhausted bodies just run out of adrenaline and you're forced to collapse or enter a meditative stance if you're a fucking elf. The spiked heads of Sir Raiden and his soldiers are outside, and Renfred is kind of just about coming to as you guys meet him down in the thronging chamber hall of Arkenbury Cathedral. Elsie, you've been tending to him. You're fairly sure that he'll survive this. He is a fighter, but he's going to have this nasty series of stitches across the side of his head, where essentially this kind of flapless fold of skin was torn up till you could see the bone of his skull, and you've had to stitch that back in to place. And he kind of sees the group of you as he wakes up and he kind of coughs and splutters. I don't think I'm going to be winning any of the Ostwald beauty contests anytime soon. But I think I'll live. It's good to see you, my friends.
Good to see you alive.
Glad you are well.
Yes, I remember the battle, the crows. Sir Raiden. Martell, is he here?
Yes, he is. He was worried about you. We should probably go grab him. I can do that if you want.
Please, I would like to see him.
And Ari will leave the room and go search for Martell.
He's got like a private chamber, so you can knock on that door to kind of...
Yeah, so I'll knock on it and call out and say, Martell?
One moment. You hear things like falling over inside the room as he like stumbles. Maybe he was asleep. And he kind of opens the door. He is like, he's got a shirt in his hands, but he hasn't put it on yet. And he's like, yes, what is...
She kind of averts her eyes out of respect. And she's like, oh, it's just your uncle, Sir Renfred. He's awake.
Oh.
He wanted to see you.
Martell like rushes past you towards Renfred. Uncle! He closes the door behind him as he runs out and goes to see Renfred. The two of them are, you know, reunited once again. Renfred assures him that he'll be fine and that he's, Renfred says, I'm very proud of everyone here. We fought to the last man.
And now we have trophies.
Yes, I've been told that there are some heads outside. I trust that Raiden's is there.
Oh, of course.
Good. I'll want to pick a lot for later. He doesn't look like he was joking.
Ari, like, laughs and then realizes he wasn't joking, and she's like, right, and looks down.
He kind of sits back upright, and he says, with Raiden's death, well, with one of the 100 dead, his title must pass down to another. Just so happens that he has a niece. Her name is Madesson. Lives in the capital of Ostwald. She's 13 years old, and has just become a very powerful young lady. And he, like, fully, like, stands upright and, like, stretches out, testing his own strength, and, like, stumbles against the table. and says, we're going to need to do something. Something against Wenton. These attacks, we cannot withstand another. I think that much is clear. Not without looting even more lives. Hells, it seems as though all of the town is burnt. Most of its inhabitants have been killed, so we need to do something. The funeral of the Emperor is late this week. Many of the 100 will be in attendance, including Sir Wenton. It is my belief that we could use Madesson, the niece of Raiden, to our advantage. And Martell says, "Why, by the gods, Uncle, you do rather scheme and plot in your dreams, don't you?" And Renfred nods a kind of somewhat toothless grin. You notice that some of his teeth have been knocked out at this point. He nods and says, "There's nothing else to do when one is asleep but plot, good boy." Sir Richard will arrive and look over Renfred. He'll say, "Ah, you're alive then. Good. You fought well." And he then moves on. Sir Richard just passes by. And Renfred just like traces the scars on his head and says, "I think that's about as close to a compliment as I'm ever going to get from that man."
It was well earned.
Indeed. Well, now that I'm standing, why don't we walk? And he gestures kind of outside and begins to like hobble outside into the light of the fading light of the evening.
Arya will follow him.
Alistair will follow.
Yep, Sam goes.
As he walks, Renfred says, "This funeral, it might be our only opportunity to get inside the capital, to see, perhaps, the Emperor's body, to learn more about what killed him. And it's doubtless that his killers are inside the city walls. It's also well known that Raiden and Wenton were friends. If, perhaps, Sir Wenton and the Knights of the Emperor are involved with these masked figures," gestures towards Luna, "then perhaps they too are linked with Baroness Dulaine. Seems clear to me that her allies will be strong within the city at this point. Now, I don't think that I'm really up to the task anymore. But you could get inside the city walls. Be my eyes and ears."
"You mentioned earlier you wanted to use his niece. How?"
He looks to Luna and says, "Well, she's one of the 100. That means she can gain access to places that others would not. For instance, the private funeral of the Emperor in order to see the body. She is young and easily manipulated."
"So we are to, what, ask politely?"
He shakes his head. "Well, I doubt that will work very well. No, intimidation usually works well against young children, I find."
"So you want us to go and threaten this 13-year-old girl to go stare at a dead body for us and bring back the information? I'm not sure if that's the best approach either."
"The fate of our world, thousands of individuals." And he kind of, stretches, "is lying upon those girls' shoulders. Now, I don't care how you do it, but we must have information from her. If you can find another way, another member of the 100 willing to talk to members such as ourselves, then so be it."
"No, I'm not saying that we should use someone else. I'm just saying that there's probably a way we can connect
with her." "Did you see that man, Raiden? Can you imagine what his hell spawn is like?"
"She's a 13-year-old girl. She's not the devil."
13-year-old girl. I've seen 13-year-old girls that will make your blood curdle. 13 is of marrying age. She is a woman and well-versed in the methods of court politics. That means she's got her head on her shoulders far wiser than any child. This is a girl who has been trained to be a member of the 100 when her uncle passes away. Do not underestimate these children.
Luna doesn't look particularly happy and is just going to suddenly make an excuse to... In fact, he straight up just says, I've suddenly realised that I have somewhere to be. And he walks off a little aimlessly to see if any of the wounded sort of need any water brought over or anything, because he is not ready to have a conversation about this.
Can I try to stop Luna before he leaves?
Yeah, sure.
Renfred, your new friend, Richard down there, he seems to believe he has reason for his dislike of you. Can you tell me about the massacre down south?
Luna definitely stops.
He pauses and kind of stops his hobbled walk and says, yes, I suppose that would come up at some point sooner or later. I did not know that Richard was there, or his men. I had a task to put down a rebellion for Godfrey, and I saw to it. There's a little more to the story than perhaps meets the eye, though. He kind of looks off into the forest and says, when I was a young man, I owned Kirchwald. I was given it by Emperor Godfrey. She and I were very close friends. However, my brother, Sir Wenton, was favored by Godfrey. It was not long before he was promoted to the highest honor of joining the Knights of the Emperor. I stayed in Kirchwald while Wenton left to Ostwald. I began to rise through the Knights to Knight Captain. I stayed close with Godfrey and acted as a spy for him until the secrets were born. I took Lorena under my wing and began to work in secret for the Emperor. I believe it was jealousy that led Wenton to grow in such a way that he did, to darken. Wenton gave to Baron Jering some of his highly trained knights and taught them the secret routes into Kirchwald. While I was in the capital meeting with Godfrey, Jering struck, butchering all those inside the state. Since this was not a matter for the Emperor, I could not bring the power of the Stalkers to bear. Instead, I was given the town of Einem to rule. It was years later, the rat downs in the marshlands, that those same men who had entered into my estate and killed so many of those that I loved started an insurrection. I'm not proud to admit that I left none alive. It was not just the guilty party who were killed that night. Many innocents burnt. So there you have it.
Can I insight check?
Sure.
15?
He's telling the truth.
Alistair actually thinks back on Baron Jering and the fury and rage that was instilled with him for the crimes that he committed, and somewhat imagines what Renfred must have gone through to see his whole household butchered and then to be able to bring justice to those men. So he looks at Renfred and goes, vengeance is a terrible thing, but it is sometimes earned.
You see a red hot, like burning intensity in Renfred's eyes, and you think tears as well. And he says, you're right, my friend. You're right. When I was younger, I too had a child. He looks towards Luna. My little Alana. She was a precious little thing. And
Well, when Kirchwald was taken from me, I knew that she had passed. Butchered by Jering and his men. Or so I thought. I'm sure you can only begin to imagine when we found those graves of those little girls and what he had done to them. To my little girl. And he breaks down into tears as he remembers it.
Luna takes a step over to him and sits down and puts a clenched hand on his shoulder and searches for something to say that would take the edge off, and then he considers what he would feel if it had been his daughter, and he knows that there is no way that anyone, any word, any passed on sentiment could cap that rage, and thinks about some of the things that he's been willing to do to defend his daughter, and just feels a mixture of guilt for making the man relive that, and at the same time this loneliness of missing his daughter desperately. And I know that if I was in your situation, and I pray that I never am, I'd burn the whole world if it meant getting her back. A shot at vengeance, I'd still come close.
It seems that vengeance is what we're all searching for, then. And she looks over to Tamron with, like, an understanding look, considering they've been through something very similar with their entire village. She kneels down to Renfred and she says, I think we've talked about our tragedies enough. I won't go into detail with what we've all experienced, but I do understand your pain, for I've experienced a very similar one, as has Tamron. So, we fight with a very similar rage and fire that you have inside of you, and we will not let you down.
He, like, stimmies the tears and nods. Yes, that is why I will stop at nothing. Godfrey was good to me.
We must honor his memory. Reunite Penumbra. Where is Asmodesum?
Ostwald. The capital of Ostwald, it's northeast of us. I can get you inside. Kirchwald connects. There's a man there, his name is Donovar, he's a butcher. But he's my man as well. On the inside, he should be able to tell you what's happening in Ostwald.
Well, we should prepare for what is to come then. And I still have some conversations that I need to have with my friends.
He nods. When you need me, I'll be with Martell.
Of course.
Where did that damn fool get to? And he hobbles away.
Luna looks awkwardly at everyone and looks around at some of the assorted men and somewhere private.
I know a place. I lead them to one of the alcoves or sort of smaller chambers that Alistair is aware of from being a crow.
And he will... Luna is very paranoid. He checks everything. Like, he checks for any possible one who could be eavesdropping on them at this moment, and double checks and triple checks. And finally, when he is convinced beyond all reason that they're alone, he looks to them and says, There are things that I have been told regarding the masked figures and this plague that bears down upon all of us. It is not a pretty picture. If I am to believe the word of an idiot, a fool, a lunatic, then this plague is not of this world. It is not anything at all like what we hoped it to be, something that was physical, that we could fight with medicine or herbs. Whatever it is a fire. And like you add wood to a fire to grow it into an inferno, this is being fed by this. And he places his palm sort of in the huddle, face up, and tiny sparks dance across his fingertips. And he just closes his palm around it, snuffing them out. It's feeding off magic.
So then what you're saying is every time someone uses some sort of magic, it grows stronger?
That's only the start of our troubles. The woman who took me, her name is Alina, and she was twisted, not natural in any way. You saw how those soldiers or thugs or killers she traveled with fought. They don't feel pain, they don't care about discomfort. They have no complaints, they have no reservations, they do not hesitate, they are killers, and they are not people. But I don't know what that means they are. They talked of celestials and powers and the great other and of something called a gateway, which is a font of magic. Like a hole in the side of a fishing boat that lets water seep in. A gateway is someone or something that is a hole in the world that lets magic seep in from wherever it comes from. And it's through these people, these mages or casters or whatever you want to call them, that this plague is feeding. And her plan is to make it worse somehow. She wanted to use me somehow. She said I was one of these gateways. I was powerful. That's why they refused to kill me. They only hurt me. But he looks to, steals a glance over towards Tamarin. When we were on your horse, when we were fleeing, they had an opportunity to cut me down and they didn't take it. And I know that Alistair did what he could to prevent them. They whispered something under their breath. The gateway. They're not willing to kill me because they want to use my power to somehow open up these holes and make it worse. And then the plague will grow and it will consume everything and everyone. I don't know why anyone would want that, anything would want that. But whatever this isn't being spread by bites or blood. It's feeding off of us. And he points to Alistair, off our power. I know how this sounds. And if I hadn't listened to her and watched her, then I might not believe it myself, but I tell you, all they did was march. All they did was move and do what they were told. There was no griping. There was no struggle. No one stopped to gather from trees or bushes. I can't remember a single one of them eating. Whatever this is, it's more. And that's the reason they took me and not Alistair. They wanted to use me, but they knew exactly where Alistair was going. And if what I saw in that fight, what I saw the crows do, if they have got their power back, then they have brought more of this magic, this shadow into the world. And things are about to get a lot worse.
We are your friends. You can trust us with this, and we will protect you. You and your daughter.
He nods. That's where my real concern lies. If this, whatever is in me, if I passed it on to her, I don't think I could live with myself. And these people, they're not gonna stop. The only thing I saw any of them do while we were on that god-awful journey was drink blood.
Well, they're calling you a gateway. That must mean that there's some way to close it, right? That would only make sense, that if there's a way it's coming in, there has to be some sort of way to get it out, right?
He slowly and quite awkwardly looks at Ori and gives her a very unhumorous smile. They wouldn't kill me for a reason. They want the gateways to stay open.
Alistair pulls out Mercy and looks at it closely. And then looks over at Luna, who's, I assume, close enough. Looks back at Mercy. It's an interesting thing, that what you're explaining. And something that our friend Tamron, my brother, pointed out to me just days ago. A tool like Mercy, he sort of twists the knife, this scalpel razor edge knife in his hand, can be seen and be used for great evil, to bring death when it's unjustified, to bring and strike low even the most powerful. But with understanding, as I explained to him about what I believe I bring with Mercy, is truly a blessing. I have watched the crows work. I have watched the hope that has come to the countryside. I have seen the good that has come from the relighting of the beacon. And I believe that this Arlena sees it as a foregone conclusion that magic is only going to create evil. For that's all she can see it for. She sees it as the fuel for this fire. I believe it's probably, in fact, being used for that fuel by people who are corrupting it. By this, he says with a sneer, Baroness Dulaine, who has brought so much ill upon that. But I also see that it can be used for good. And I think that it is going to be our small acts of good with magic that will be able to snuff out or stop this use of it for evil. I have to believe that, because to take away the hope in all of those people, he gestures out towards a city full of refugees. I can't take that away from them. And he sheathes Mercy.
Whatever we decide to do, I've seen this before. I come from a small village, a paranoid village. And though we were always separated from it in the monastery, when people are scared and you give them something to focus on, they will. If word of this got out, there'd be witch hunters. And they'd kill anybody who could do anything that couldn't be explained. Anyone who had any odd practices, anything at all, can all be attributed to witchcraft if you give them that fear. That's why I'm only telling you. But don't mistake that for me not understanding what this might come to. So if it does come down to that, I will do what needs to be done to make sure that this gateway is slammed shut and never opens again, if that's what it takes, one way or another. But in the meantime, the thought of empowering that crazy bitch and whatever master or mistress or whomever, whatever it is that she serves other than herself, that scares me. Anyone who can march like they can march, can fight like they can fight. They move like the plague itself. She said she was born from it. Maybe it was just whatever it was she was drinking from those vials. But it was unnatural.
They were drinking something.
He nods. Aye, they had something. Something that seemed to sustain her. It was in a vial, a little black vial of something. I don't know what. I'm no alchemist. But it kept them marching forward, never stopping, never resting. Hell, half the time they were just dragging me across the floor. I didn't even have the energy to walk anymore.
You see Ari just break down in tears and drop to her knees, and she starts screaming, I understand! I know! And just, she can't really have a complete sentence come out, and she's just sobbing.
Luna looks very panicked suddenly and reaches down and sort of to try and comfort her. I don't... You understand what?
The vials, the sickness, the magic, the gateways, everything. That night.
What night?
My parents. The knife and the blood. She looks up at Tamarin and just puts her face into her hands and keeps crying. She's not necessarily sad, she's just overwhelmed with the information she's just received.
He looks confused, looks to Tam for some kind of marker as to what is going on here, because he's looking pretty panicked at the moment.
Tam walks over and places a hand on Aori's shoulder. His other hand is clenched so tightly his nails have dug into his palm, and he's drawn blood. And he looks at Luna, and he takes him a while to get the words out, but the thought has formed in his head as he's come to this realization. Men came to our village. They brought black vials with them. They were under the command of the Baroness. If I have reached the right conclusion, those who died in our village were turned into those monsters.
Ari pulls her hands away from her face and looks up at Luna, and you see the same sort of sparks that you showed sort of coming out of her hands, and then they dissipate, and she says, My father was like you. He used to teach me how to create the lights and other things. I never really put it together that it was magic until I was older, and I didn't learn much before. He got sick, and so did my mother. And then these men came. I kept giving them vials. I kept taking them to him. I must have been sustaining them. And then one night I came home, and I found both of them in bed with their throats slit, with the knife in my father's hand. They must have been gateways. They must have known, and they must have shut them.
Luna, fuck, even I don't know what to say to that. He just stands there for a moment, trying to take that in, and very cold part of him that he... Luna doesn't like much at all, but one that is very good at shutting things out when he really, really needs to. Almost like putting on a jacket that conceals him and he can hide under, and he turns with a coldness in his eyes and looks to Tamrin. So I have powers. The crow has powers. Ori as well. If there is something you are telling me, keeping from me, now would be the time, Tamrin.
Tamrin takes his bow off his shoulder. He knocks an arrow, and he shoots it at the wall just behind Luna's head. And as you turn to look at it, you see vines sprout from the wall and wrap themselves around the arrow. I wasn't sure I could do it. It was an old trick, and I saw my father do. You're in good company.
Luna.
We won't betray you.
Luna.
We would be betraying ourselves.
Luna turns and slams his fist as hard as he can into a wall. Knuckles, bones be damned, and there's a small spark of energy that kicks back as if he's striking it with metal, and there are sparks flying off, and he turns, and if what they have said is true, that means that every damn one of us is feeding this fucking plague. What do we do against something like that? What do we do against an enemy that is using us like fucking firewood?
Well, there's one thing. There's one thing that I know how to do, and all three of you have helped. We do know how to stop the bleeding and staunch a wound. Just like the plague moves through the blood and how we close it to heal the body. It is time for us, I believe, to fight fire with fire.
Luna nods slowly and gravely and then looks around as sort of there are people who are probably still, even if we're tucked away, still passing us, tending to bringing bandages to the wounded and stuff. And he shrugs off this darkness that unfortunately for him, as he sort of always had this coldness within him that's always been helpful to, in times of great stress, he can sort of wear that mask and pretend to be detached from it all, and he always thought of a darkness within him, and he's now considering is more possibly of a shadow within him, and says, we shouldn't be spending any more time with these men. They've been through enough. And until we know what it is that we are doing, just by being around them, what effect we have on them, and how we influence this plague, then we need to distance ourselves from people. And that means that until we figure out what this is, I can't go home to my daughter. So, this is now my priority. Getting into that capital. And as much as it sickens me, by any means necessary, making sure that we ensure the cooperation of that girl. There is one thing that has been gnawing at me ever since they mentioned that this plague could be magical. How long had the Emperor been alive for?
Out of character, longer than anyone could imagine. Several hundred years.
Yeah, and he was human, wasn't he?
He was an emperor.
If he was kept alive by magic, what if the plague is already in the capital? If we're going to have a public viewing, if we are spreading this, and almost every single member of the 100 is going to be there. Viewing that body. And then they're all going to return to their land. This could become an epidemic beyond anything we can contain.
There's a look of horror that you can see in Alistair's eyes as the magnitude of that statement settles in. It is the perfect vector for transmission. Every single land simultaneously. There would be no way to stop it.
And no one left alive in command who would be able to organize evacuations, medical supplies, manage the food stores.
Luna, you forget. Remember the first thing that Renfred told us about this war. It will last until there is only one of the 100 left standing. If you needed to get rid of the other 99...
Oh, shit.
This is how you do it.
And that is where we'll wrap up tonight's episode of Turncloaks.
Dude, I got goose pimples just from like coming to that realization. I'm literally all goose pimples. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. I don't want to break the DM screen too much, but I had a thing which would have, you know, led you to something of a conclusion as yourselves, but you got there on your own. So cool stuff.
Yay!
Cool stuff. You worked it out, team. You solved the puzzle. Oh, man. That's some good stuff.
We're like the mystery.
about the hounds being y'all's neighbors and village, all your villagers.
Oh man, I'm so glad that came out tonight as well. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm spooked.
I'm sure.
I will never trust again.
Well, but your parents killed themselves. I mean, the question is, were they gateways or did he figure it out?
It's too much.
I think he's a gateway too, which is just because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which pretty much validates. I'm sorry if we're like, we can cut this stuff out. But pretty much validates that, yeah, your daughter
is a gateway.
You know she is.
I will actually burn this entire campaign to the ground. I'll do it.
Oh my god!
She's a gateway. She has to be, dude. You think we would ever threaten the blood of a gateway? They've confirmed it passes through bloodlines.
I'm gonna murder so many people.
I'm gonna tell you guys this much: it's all in the blood. But we're gonna have to wait until next week's episode to learn a little bit more about this campaign, which is all about these epidemics, these pathogens being passed on to one another, and these black vials. What were they doing? What do these black vials mean? Now we know. But we're going to read out one of your wonderful 5-star reviews tonight, my friends. If you want yours read out, be sure to leave one on iTunes or Stitcher. We're going to read one from Witchy Wolf. Writes beautifully dark. I was overjoyed when I found this podcast. It's dark and wonderful. It's very roleplay oriented and everyone sticks to their character very well. It's almost like I'm listening to a radio show or listening to an awesome audiobook. Everyone's voices are fantastic and nice to listen to. Every episode I'm so excited to see what will go wrong or right and find even more interwoven layers in the plot. I also appreciate that no one is overly attempting to be funny. They handle humor well but don't make that the main goal. They make their story the main goal and I love that. Will, please don't stop saying fantastic. You know what, Witchy Will? That is a fantastic review right there.
Actually, it's a great review for today, too, with the interwoven
comments. I love it. Weaving a lot of stuff into the backstory. It's finally coming out. It's great as a DM. It's frustrating as a DM because, like, you write all this stuff and you think, like, it's so cool when they figure this out. It's going to be so cool. But you got to wait until, 20 episodes down the line till I get some of the stuff. So it's really nice to see some of the bombs being dropped tonight. If you enjoy Turncloaks, you can follow us on Twitter at TurncloaksPod. You can talk to us about your theories. Is Lucia a gateway? You tell me. You tell me, guys. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at EncounterRP and on twitch.tv/EncounterRoleplay as well. Scar and a cast and crew, did we enjoy ourselves? Where can we start online? Let's start with Josh.
Will.
Happiest manly hour.
Sort of. You know when you have those moments where you just... it's almost like running down a hill when you realize you're going too fast, and I started that thread and then I started pulling at it, and then like the tapestry was just suddenly there, and I'm like, I wish I'd never gone near this. The fear. Why did I do it? Why did I do this thing? I'm traumatized. I am Encounter Josh. You can find me on Encounter Roleplay, plotting to kill Will, both in-game and in real life now.
Fantastic. Sydney.
Wow. Okay. My mind is so blown. That was crazy, and that was so cool. I feel like so many questions haven't answered that I've had for, like, months now. I'm Sydney. You can find me pretty much everywhere, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, at Sydneyak. And I'm also the Dungeon Master for WanderQuest Podcast, which you can follow on Twitter at WanderQuestPod.
Fantastic. That's for you, Witchy Wolf. Joseph.
Oh my goodness. It's so much fun to figure things out, but it's so foreboding and it's so dark to realize what implications these things have for the rest of this adventure. And, it's going to be interesting to see where we go with it. But I am Joseph. You can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast.
Tool School.
You know, I love a good politics type. I should have known that it was going to be like Imperator-esque with just how crazy the politics of this society and its succession rights or succession works. And I'm Tall Squall, and you can find me at Tall Squall all around the interwebs and social media. And if you go to my Twitter account, you'll find links to all the things that I am on and that I'm doing. Let me know that you found me through Turncloaks, and may you live in interesting times.
indeed. Well, thank you guys once again. It has been an absolute honor, a pleasure to DM Turncloaks once again this week. Fucking tweet us. Tell us what you guys are thinking about our story so far, about this narrative that we are weaving together at Turncloaks Pod. Oh man, it's only going to get better from here. Until next time, Lo, try not to roll too many net ones. We want to be here laughing, sticking heads on spikes, pickling them, and having our daughters be gateways. Until next time, see you guys. Bye!
Bye-bye.